Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old muck of Fenners. We're back together, son. How are ya?
Hi, Bully. Great to be back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got a kit, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard. Welcome to the club.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more, no more. Feed me till I want no more.
What's going, Bert?
What's occurring? How's things, mate?
I'm a broken man, to be honest. It's not like we had a wild night or anything, but a couple of not great nights sleep. And then last night was a late one again, obviously. Travelled early this morning. And it wasn't a crazy night. Like, we had someone at the hotel. We went to just out by the pool at the hotel. We had a load of pizzas and stuff, G&Ts. Nothing crazy at all, but I gotta say my guts aren't feeling too great. They haven't been great the last few days, to be honest. But then travel back here to France, just your body shuts down, doesn't it, when you switch off. And feeling a bit now, but
I'm surprised last night didn't turn into a big one.
So we obviously had Max and Sarah were there. Max fell asleep around, managed to get some pizza down him, and he was asleep by 10:15, just on like a sun lounger, basically. And then we went up about, the bar and stuff closed at 12:30.
Oh, okay.
We just headed up to the room then and went to bed, basically. But
nice one.
Last few days, though, just haven't really slept, you know? So it's been, feeling pretty broken, especially with like a 3-year-old that's full of beans now.
Yeah, mate, it's been it's just been a roller coaster the last few days, hasn't it? I think, it's been amazing to watch. It really has been mega to watch. My armchair fan for the last 3 weeks. It's been ups and downs, but I guess, you know, we spoke at the very first pod about the Giro, didn't we? And you said, you know, I probably played down your chances a bit, but and you said, nah, mate, fuck it, all in for the win. And you were true to your word there, son. It was great to see.
It was definitely emotional, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think to have the jersey for that long and then to lose it on the last day just made it worse. Max has just walked in and thrown me off completely. But I don't know what the hell I'm saying, mate. I'm nailed. So this TT, yeah. So obviously afterwards, I was gutted, and like when Blythe came and gave me a hug, I was like, oh, sorry, dude. And, like, you could see that he was quite emotional with it, and that just almost set me off. And then for about the next 3 or 4 hours, like, I couldn't really read messages on my phone because I was getting so many nice messages from people back home and mates and whatever. And it just started like welling up every time I was reading these messages. Like, Jesus, what's happening to me? It's like my wedding, mate. Remember that when I just couldn't stop crying?
Yeah, that was, you did cry a lot that day, didn't you? But that's acceptable.
But I didn't actually cry like that, but I could just feel it coming on, so I had to just stop all the time. But and then got back to the hotel. It was another late one. Like, oh, mate, I had did a partial sample, so a dope control.
Oh.
You have to do 90 mil, and I did 10. And then it was literally an hour and a half later till I actually managed to go again. And I drank about 5.5 litres of water. Just nothing, just could not go. And then got the gondola back down through all the Slovenian fans that were great with me, actually, to be fair. Probably because they were happy because they'd won.
Yeah.
Which made nicer to be nice.
Might have been a bit different if it was the other way.
Down this gondola and then an hour and a half to the hotel. So got to the boys at about 10 o'clock. We had burgers and chips at the hotel put on, but I think they'd cooked it at about 7. So
nice.
that wasn't exactly the best meal, but it was good just to be with everyone. The boys had a few beers. I couldn't even finish my one, mate. Like I said about my guts, I was just like, my stomach was in knots.
Is that bicarb?
Yeah, I had some bicarb and just a lot of gels. Like the last week, there was so many like mountain stages and climbing. Like I was just nailing the gels more than anything, and it just turned me inside out. And half a beer probably, and then couldn't really sleep. Just with the caffeine and everything as well in the race.
Yeah.
And actually everything that had happened, you know, your mind's just racing.
Of course.
So then, in the morning, then we were up at 7:30. Get to the airport, we flew to Rome, got a bus to the hotel, we were in the hotel for an hour and a half, had some lunch, which was actually better. You know, in the tour, normally you go straight to the start and it's a long old day. At least we had a bit of time to get a shower and feel a bit better. It was that feeling, you know, when you get last stage, like the race is kind of done, but it's not, you still got a race for this, there's still another stage to do. So that was mentally, you just got to stay switched on for that, because we saw the circuit on paper, it looked really bad, but to be honest, it wasn't too technical. It was pretty good. It was probably easier than a Champs-Élysées stage because we just stayed in one line for so long.
Yeah.
Then we did, it was 6 laps and we were in one line for about, we were sitting second team, so maybe behind it was a bit more crazy. But for us, no one came up alongside me till about 2.5 laps to go.
Sad.
It was absolute bliss.
Yeah.
Bliss, mate. Yeah.
How times have changed since them first few days when everyone's full of beans, eh? When everyone's everyone's fucked, they just kind of chill out, don't they? But mate, the question that's probably on everyone's lips. First of all, mega lead out, mate. I mean, you took him there. You know, we were saying Cav's missing that one guy just to take him 2K to go, we said a few days ago, didn't we? So was that literally just spur of the moment, seeing him with 2K to go and thought, right, I'll whack it? Or was it something you spoke before?
He came up to me in the race and said, oh, if you're going to lead me out, go on the right. Basically, like, taking the piss, basically. But as it turned out, yeah, I was made sure I was there with 3K to go, obviously, anyway, to be safe. And then I saw him with only Lewis Leon. And I was like, ah, sod it, man. It's safer for me on the front anyway. So I was just like, went past him and was like, hey, lads. And then shouted to Lewis Leon and just went.
Yeah.
And And then when I heard that he'd won over like the Tannoy or whatever, that was great, you know, especially because we called it on here. We said he'd win a stage, didn't we? So,
mate, we backed him. We kept backing him, didn't we? It was coming.
Yeah. And I had to say that on the TV as well, just to give the podcast a shout out. But it was great to see him win. You know, he obviously announced his retirement during the race. So unreal. And the one thing I don't quite understand is like loads of people have been saying how good it was of me to do, but it just seemed natural almost. I don't know, maybe because I've done so much with Cav, and it's just like, you just help a mate out, don't you, if you can?
Exactly. Like if you or I change teams and we're in a race in the future, we'd still always have each other's back. And if there's any way you can help each other, you do. And I think...
Yeah, exactly. So I guess maybe it's a bit different when you pull in and lead out like with 2K to go. It's a bit more intense, but... Yeah, it was just great to see him win, and you know, his last ever Giro stage, to win it in Rome with a Colosseum behind him. Pretty sweet, that.
So, well, it's a fairy tale ending, isn't it? To announce your retirement, halfway through the race. And I think anyone who knows Cav knows Italy holds a special place in his heart. He just loves the country, doesn't he? He loves the culture. He speaks the language. He's lived there for many years. So to announce the retirement and then go in, and like you say, not just any stage, the last stage with Rome, it was a fairy tale ending. It was beautiful.
Exactly, yeah. Right, before we wrap it up, let's have a quick short break, eh?
Let's do it. Pause.
Be thou still my strength and shield, strength and shield.
Luke Butt, do you want to hear a dad joke?
Go on then, go for it, mate.
Well, I don't often discuss sunglasses with anyone, but... I find it's a very polarising subject.
Mate, that's edgy, very edgy. Ben Stiller would like that one.
And it'll make more sense why we're talking about sunglasses when I tell you this. We got a new sponsor for the podcast, mate. It's SunGod.
Nice one.
Yeah, most of you will have spotted this already, but Ineos have changed their sunglasses sponsor from Oakley to SunGod. SunGod are a British brand making high-performance sunglasses to give us Grenadiers the edge across our races this season. I'm sure they've seen you wearing your recognisable white frames in the Giro G with a SunGod twist. How have they been feeling? Give us some nerdy sunglasses facts then.
So far, so good. I actually worked really closely with SunGod to design this pair. It was, I'm sure you can tell as well, because they look class, don't they? Me and my design wonders. But just like all SunGod's cycling sunglasses, in their Pace series, the lenses are stronger, lighter, and clearer than industry standard polycarbonate. They also use market-leading 8KO nylon lens technology and a carbon neutral.
Yeah, whatever you just said, mate. I'm impressed.
And you know, the best bit for everyone listening, you can get a pair too. My design is available to buy from Tuesday, the 30th of May, but you can also go and design your own too. Just go to sungod.co/Geraint for an exclusive offer when you design your own pair of cycling sunglasses. Luke, what colour are you choosing then?
Pink. Ready for my pink panther next year at the Giro, mate. So guys, that's sungod.co/Geraint. Go get them.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
So, G, what's next?
Yeah, I'm basically with the family for a week now. I'll ride, maybe a coffee ride, one or two, just to turn the legs over. And then, but this week pretty much shut it down and then just get going again. Nationals be the next race. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And, but yeah, it's just been intense, like the Giro, you know, every descent. I don't know if you can hear them in the background, by the way, but the family just arrived. That's what the noise is. But yeah, the Giro, like every descent you're fighting for the front, you know, with all the bad weather, it was so much more intense because you're just thinking about so much more, like clothing and what you got to put on, like need to put more stuff on, need to be in position more, you know, all this. So there's an up and down race as well, losing guys, Pipo, Teo, Pavel. And the atmosphere in the team was just great as well. That's what was the biggest thing, actually. Like, probably the best Grand Tour team. Don't take offence to this, by the way, mate. But like, just a good vibe we had with everyone in the team. And it was really good.
Oh, you're fucking breaking my heart here, son.
But no, we've obviously been good. But I mean, all eight guys were like awesome, you know?
No, I get you.
So, oh blimey, someone's banging the door. But yeah, so it was, that was one of the biggest things I was disappointed about, to be honest, to not finish it off, like for them and the team as much as me as well. And because yeah, they'd ridden their hearts out, especially that last week with only like four guys with me, Swifty and Salva, Dupluski and Time, and like they all just stepped up another level, you know. It was like having a full team and we only had half. But so yeah, it was. It's been a great few weeks, and but yeah, like I say, shut it down now. Do nationals, maybe. I think the Worlds will be the next sort of big target. Being in the UK, it's a big one, isn't it? So maybe yeah. Target the TT or something there, and possibly Vuelta as well. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Happy days, mate. I think. Yeah, one final thing to kind of. Mention of the Giro is something we've spoke about a lot, but that team, like you said, I think we just need to reiterate that, don't we? They were incredible. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Swifty at that level in his whole career. Like he, and then Puccio, I think he just probably had his best Giro ever. And the other two climbing guys, it was just incredible. It was like you
yeah,
said,
exactly.
You went down. I was messaging Swifty. He was like, yeah, a little bit nervous about one of the next mountain stages. I just said to him, mate, from what I've seen for the last 2 weeks, there's fuck all to be worried about. like, okay, you're four guys, but you are still the strongest team. You are.
And yeah.
I say the strongest team with the strongest leader. And
that's the main thing I was saying to the boys, because like Dupluski, like he's got a lot of respect for like Jumbo because he's been there and he knows, you know, how they work and whatever. And he's always on about, yeah, Dennis is getting better. And I was like, mate, he is. And you can see he's getting better. He's still not got a patch on you, mate, as in Dupluski. I was like, nothing's going to have changed overnight. Like, you're doing, just keep doing the basics, everyone now. And there's no reason that suddenly all these other teams are going to start kicking your asses. Like, you're just bossing it. So just keep doing what we're doing. And that's what we did. And it was just, yeah, amazing, really. And yeah, just those 14 bloody seconds in the end of the day, which kind of, yeah. But I could just feel it though in that TT, like with about a K and a half to go before the top, I was like, shit. You know, when you like just got 10 watts less and you're like, oh man, you could just feel it. I was just like, unless Roglic now is having a bit of a bad time as well,
I'm in trouble.
This is slipping away. Yeah. And just in your head, you're just thinking, shit. But you just keep pushing. But he was on a world the other day as well. Like, it's not like I was bad. I was still second on stage, but he had a worldie. I had a, you know, decent sort of average sort of day, really.
Were you getting time checks?
Got one at the bottom after 10K at the start of the climb. I was 2 seconds down, which was like a nice little boost because we did a helmet swap as well. There's a bit of thing about that. Do we do it? Do we not?
Yeah.
Kind of thought the science was saying you'd lose. There was quite a lot. I can't even remember what it was, but basically 250 grams lighter helmet, more ventilation. You're not going to overheat. It'll take around 6-7 seconds to do the swap, and you'll make up that. If the swap's a bit longer, then it was kind of even out anyway. So it was kind of 6 2/3. So we were like, sod it, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Did the swap. And and then the next check I got was, I was 15 seconds down, but then I heard he had a mechanical. And it's kind of like, for him, this is going to sound like I'm trying to make it out like he didn't kick my ass as much as he did now, but if you're going to have a mechanical, the best place to have a mechanical is when you're going 12K an hour with the spare bike right behind you, I guess, you know? Yeah. It's not like you're doing 50K an hour. You got to stop, you get it off the car, get back up to 50K an hour. Like, you know, you can stop, switch your bike, get a mad push, and you kind of, you know, back up to 12K an hour pretty quickly. But yeah, then I heard he had that, so I was like, oh, you know, this is going to help. But I was still a bit like, oh, legs are jelly. You know, the bike arb was like, you got no feel, have you? You got no real grunt. Your legs are just a bit weak. But yeah, and then it was just over the top. It was a bit flat. And I was just thinking, oh no, I've still got another K kicker here. And yeah, it was just about survival, just trying to get to that line. It couldn't have come quick enough. But yeah, it just sucked then when you got across the line. You're like,
yeah,
bollocks, I've lost this. And then I could hear him and all his team celebrating in the tent next to me, and all the Slovenian fans were going like crazy. And you just want to go into a little cave, you know, and just be on your own for a while, but you're just there in the spotlight. And it was just like, oh man, this is hard. But anyway, it was, you know, that's sport, isn't it? That's what makes it so exciting for people to watch and to, you know,
exactly, mate. It was down to the wire, wasn't it? And everyone was, you know, we knew that final TT would be a massive GC day, and it turned out to be. But I think, yeah, before we wrap it up and you go get a cold one, mate, fucking chapeau. You can hold your head high. Second in another Grand Tour.
Cheers, mate.
Pink jersey for God knows how many days. And also, the feedback on the pod, people have loved it. So I think we've given a pretty good, honest insight for the last 3 weeks, and yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, nice one. Me too. Obviously, we're not going to give away like tactics and what we're actually going to do, which I saw some people were complaining about, but you know, I think yeah, we've kind of just said it as is and how we've seen it. And no, it's been good. And just want to say before I go, massive thanks to everyone back home, everyone listening, everyone supporting, like I say, all the messages getting me all welled up and teary. But no, yeah, the support's been incredible. And this podcast's been good to do, mate. It's been good to chat to you. So I've missed you. I haven't done a Grand Tour without you for a while, so
maybe yeah, we'll do a... And then you said it was the best Grand Tour. Don't try and be nice now, mate.
Maybe the Vuelta, mate. Let's do that, shall we?
Mate, I'm in. What's occurring, Vuelta?
Yeah, quality.
All right, sound. All right, have a good one, mate. Enjoy it. Put your feet up.
Cheers, bud.
Ta-ra, boy.
Ta-ra. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Network, a place where you belong.